What is the message that the church preaches on abortion? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Mark Crutcher, President and Founder of Life Dynamics, where we tape these programs each week. And Mark, good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Nice to be here.
We have a mutual friend on the phone today who has done has given a great example, really, of what someone in public service is supposed to be doing for the protection of human life. Phil Klein from Kansas, formerly Attorney General. And we're going to talk to him in just a moment. But I want to preface this conversation by reminding our viewers of something we often talk about, which is that, as I put it, you can't practice vice virtuously.
Right.
If you have, as the abortion industry does, as your primary purpose, the killing of living human children, well, then there's going to be hardly anything else that your conscience is not going to be able to accept, hardly any other evil that you're not going to be able to do.
Oh, and
we've seen
the bar.
And you've said it. Right. Right.
You set the bar very low, and you've made it clear you'll do absolutely anything it takes.
Yes. You know? And, of course, through the work of Life Dynamics and a number of projects that we've been able to work on together, a lot of this has come to the attention of the public in terms of the way that the abortion industry covers up child sexual abuse, statutory rape, and so forth, and the way that the industry is just unwilling to cooperate with laws that are in place in regard to this.
It's not a matter just that they're unwilling to cooperate. They're willing to take active steps to protect the men who rape children.
That's right.
And any way you look at it, that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, our guest today has been very courageous in taking action on these points and calling the abortion industry to task. And we want to review a little bit about what has happened and what's going on now and into the future. And we welcome to the show Phil Klein from Kansas. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing real well, Father. It's great to be with you again. And Mark, it's good to be with you as well.
Me too.
Tell us, Phil, give us a little bit of the history. You were Attorney General in Kansas. Tell us what you did that caused such a furor.
Well, I initiated an investigation into child rape, failure to report child rape, as well as criminal late-term abortion. And through that investigation, we ended up subpoenaing medical records from Dr. George Tiller's clinic in Wichita, who performs late-term abortion. In fact, he's the premier late-term abortionist in the Western Hemisphere,
Yes. As
well as Planned Parenthood. And the reason it caused a firestorm is not only because the secular media is so avidly pro-abortion, but also if it is proven that Planned Parenthood did not comply with state laws, under federal law, they nationally lose all of their federal funding, amounting to about $270 million. And it is the first time that such an investigation was initiated. And they fought the provision of those records, claiming that it would invade the privacy of the child, even though both clinics gave the same information to political fundraisers, and they reserved that right on their website. They fought a judge investigating child rape, failure to report child rape, and criminal late-term abortion. That fight proceeded for about 4 years. We were able to obtain those records as I was leaving office. The abortion industry poured in millions of dollars in Kansas to fight me legally as well as defeat me politically, and they elected a pro-abortion attorney general by the name of Paul Morrison, who promised to end the investigation. Now, we did get criminal charges filed against Mr. Tiller. To file criminal charges, a judge has to find probable cause, which is the highest legal standard next to conviction. Probable cause means that I can arrest you. Probable cause means that I can have a search warrant. A judge found probable cause to believe that Mr. Tiller committed crimes, and he summoned Mr. Tiller to appear to answer those crimes. Unfortunately, Mr. Morrison became Attorney General and essentially dismissed all of that action. Now, I am now Johnson County District Attorney, so I can continue the investigation in that capacity. And also, as it relates to Planned Parenthood, if there is evidence of criminality, file criminal charges. So all of this is still going on in Kansas, but essentially we had a situation where the abortion industry purchased the law by purchasing those who are charged with enforcing the law and electing them to office.
Well, Mark, it's incredible, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and Attorney General Klein, former Attorney General Klein, is too nice to say it, but I'm not too nice to say it. One thing that really needs to be emphasized here is that Morrison, who came in and dropped the charges against Tiller, despite all the evidence that it's undeniable that Tiller is in violation of the law, Morrison comes in and drops the charges against him. It's not a coincidence. You'd have to believe in the tooth fairy to think it's a coincidence that Morrison took in $250,000 from Tiller during his campaign against Attorney General Klein.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Planned Parenthood and George Tiller and the nonprofits he created, the actual amount, Mark, will end up well over $1 million.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
The corruption of these people. And it's like you said a moment ago, there's no right way to do a wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've legalized abortion. We certainly have not taken the odor off of it or the stigma off of it. And it's like pornography and prostitution. You can legalize them, but you'll never perform those services, quote unquote, in a proper manner, because it's not possible to do.
Yeah.
Well, let me try to explain the context of one of the issues that the abortion clinics do not want to be known. In Kansas, and it happens in every state in the nation, but to greater numbers, but about the same percentage, about 75 girls who are not of the age to engage in sexual intercourse, their children, have abortions every year in our state. Now, that is clear evidence that a crime has been committed, the crime of child rape. These children are as young as 10. And state law requires that doctors report child rape, and most all doctors do, and hospitals do, so that we can get engaged and protect that child, because only 0.5% of children report their own sexual abuse. They're in codependent relationships. They're terrified. They've been taught to blame themselves for what is going on, and we need that partnership. Now, we are not going to prosecute, nor does anybody prosecute, truly consensual activity between two children of a similar age. If you have two 13-year-olds who made a mistake, you're not going to see a prosecution. You might see a concern about that home environment, but you won't see a prosecution of the children. And the clinics hide behind that and say, oh, Mr. Klein's trying to get two kids in the back seat of a Toyota. Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what happens. When the 13-year-old or 12-year-old is in that clinic, and they ask, and Mark, you know, they don't even ask who the father is. They don't ask. If they do, and when they ask, the child says, it's my boyfriend, the 27-year-old stepfather's out in the car having told her to say that, or she's not coming home.
Right.
And these clinics want to provide this safe haven for child rapists because they're afraid of the light of day shining within that clinic. Because just as you said at the outset of the show, if you are willing to hold the most precious gift of life in your hand as it's being born or moments before it's being born and destroy it, then that hardness of heart wraps around all actions in which you engage in. Because this lie has to be covered up by another lie and by another lie, because it can't stand by itself. And so they're willing to argue. And in fact, I've got a federal lawsuit coming out of Wichita in which they argue it is unconstitutional to require them to report child rape because it invades the child's privacy.
Unbelievable.
That is an absurdity.
It's absurd.
When you think about it, there are three things that child predators want. They want access to children, they want secrecy, and they want the cowardice of adults who know and look the other way. And these clinics are arguing that what they want is actually in and required by our Constitution. It is frightening.
It's laughable. It truly is. I think people need to understand the scale of this problem. When we did our investigation of it, I was shocked to find out some things about this issue of teen pregnancy in the United States, which has, by the way, the highest teen pregnancy rate in the industrialized world.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us think it's like what Mr. Klein said. It's two 13-year-olds in a car, in their mother's bedroom or whatever, having sex. That's not true. Among the youngest girls in this country who get pregnant, the youngest ones, Father Frank, from when we studied from 11 years old to 15 years old.
Right.
Government studies now show that 60 to 80% of those children who get pregnant, girls who get pregnant in that age range, were impregnated by adults.
Yeah.
The highest STD rate we have right now in this country is girls 15 to 19 years old. The vast majority of those STDs were contracted from adult men.
We had a case in Wichita in which I also investigated live birth instances in which a child would give birth to a child. to make sure that we didn't have predatory activity. And I came across one in Wichita. I referred it to the district attorney down there, Nola Folston, who did nothing. The district attorney down there has been long-term in Wichita, and she has not acted on evidence as it relates to Tiller. But in any event, about a month later, I got a call from an adoption agency who said that this girl, coincidentally, was in to put her child up for adoption, and she was with her stepfather, and they suspected something was wrong. And I encouraged them to speak with the girl alone. They did. She said, "Help me. He's now raping my stepsister as well, or my sister as well." And that man is now, the stepfather, is in prison for 90 years. But what we learned through all of that case is that there were two previous abortions to those children, and nobody did a thing.
The rapes had occurred over years, and
nobody did anything.
These abortion clinics become a safe haven for these predators. Well, Phil, we're going to come back after a short break, and Mark will continue to talk about these important topics and what you can do about it, brothers and sisters, so please stay with us.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back. We have Phil Klein from Kansas on the phone with us today. I'm joined by Mark Crutcher of Life Dynamics, and we're talking about the very disturbing problem of the abortion industry conducting a criminal cover-up across the nation of child sexual abuse, statutory rape, and so forth. Both of you are aware how we have encouraged activists across the country who pray in front of abortion clinics to be on the lookout for these situations, and it's really not difficult to tell when a 10-year-old, 11-year-old is walking in to an abortion clinic. And yet, Mark, first of all, and I like Phil's comments on this, tell us some of the obstacles that we have encountered from local law enforcement who are just unwilling to, either ignorant of the law or unwilling to take action on it.
Well, we have discovered just absolutely alarming ignorance on the part of law enforcement. I've even had discussions, believe this or not, with state's attorneys and attorney generals. And people who work in AG's offices around the country, and they don't understand the law. They don't understand that mandatory reporting laws, they think that we're taking these laws and twisting them to fit a pro-life political agenda.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The reality is, if you look at the legislative history of these laws, the situations that we're talking about are exactly, they are textbook examples of why mandatory reporting laws were passed to begin with. This is not a twisting of these laws. This is what they were designed to do. Is to alert other adults when you have a child who may be the victim of sexual abuse. And what we're seeing is we're having pro-lifers on the sidewalks talking. I had one call me from Michigan the other day. She actually talked with a girl who was going in. The girl said she was 14 years old. The person that she was pregnant by was over 30, who was not there with her, but she was being taken into this abortion clinic. They call the police. The police show up and threaten the pro-lifers, threaten to arrest the pro-lifers,
yeah,
and say, we have no right to go in that facility. It's a matter of privacy. And it is astonishing that law enforcement, I don't know if some of them are willfully stupid or if they use this as an excuse not to do their job,
mm-hmm,
but I think Father Frank and I think Mr. Klein would back me up on this. The problem that we've got is we've got so many adults in this culture who simply don't care about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's my turn to be a little bit less kind, Mark, as it relates to elected law enforcement officials, those charged, such as district attorneys, attorneys general, with enforcing the law. It is a willful ignorance because of political cowardice. The abortion industry, and I've mentioned this before, I think, to you, Father, that an industry recognizes a threat before a cause wakes up to an opportunity. And that's what happened here in Kansas. They recognized the threat of the cases and the investigation that I was bringing. They put their resources in here to defeat me so that they could use me as an example to others who might think about doing their duty and enforcing the law.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not focused on, in the life community, law enforcement, elected law enforcement positions. And let me give you just a quick analysis of how important that is. And I'm not trying to denigrate Congress, but there are 535, 100 in the Senate, 435 in the House, and they engage in this trench nuclear warfare every year, and everybody focuses on congressional races. And before they can accomplish anything, they have to get well over 200 votes in the House. They have to get over 60 votes in the Senate to defeat cloture before they can pass a bill.
Right.
Attorneys general and district attorneys decide. They don't have to count votes. They just have to do their job. And no one is looking at these clinics to ensure that they are complying with existing laws on the books. Now, if Roe versus Wade falls, which I believe it will, because it is illogical,
yes,
in its context, and I think it will eventually fall, then what will happen? We will have state battles and passing laws, but who will enforce those laws? And if we do not elect principled people who stand up and do their duty, regardless of political price that they might pay, then we're just engaged in an exercise in futility. So we have to focus on this effort. We have to engage politically on this effort. We have to apply pressure that where there is violation of the law, those charged with enforcement of the law have to do their job. And we have to educate the public that there are children being abused. And everybody is looking the other way because it is an inconvenient truth. And as we discussed earlier, most people would rather us agree about a lie than disagree on the truth because it calls them forth in action, it convicts their heart, and life is too busy to deal with inconvenient truths.
Yes.
But we've got to bring this forth and shed the light of day on it.
Yes.
So I appreciate your willingness to have us on the show, and we've got to continue down this path. And as Johnson County District Attorney, I'm doing that, and it will continue in this effort. And I want to mention that if people want to know what's happening in Kansas, they can go to our website and they can sign up for an email update. We'd be glad to keep them informed. But this is a battlefield that we have not played on before, and we need to engage it.
Well, we sure appreciate your faithfulness to what's right here and your voice continuing to speak out about it. So thanks for joining us on the program, and we'll look forward to keeping in touch.
Thank you.
God bless you. Well, Mark, it's encouraging to have somebody like that on the front lines of this battle.
He's our hero.
And we need more of them.
Right.
Thanks for all that you've done also in helping to expose this and encouraging people like Phil Klein. Brothers and sisters, you've heard the message. You have the opportunity to awaken other people to this message. Do so with courage and don't be afraid to continue to keep on top of this situation. Get those email updates that Mr. Klein mentioned and spread the word among your pro-life groups, your churches. Get your pastors to talk about this and we'll continue to give you updates on this program. Now, shortly you'll hear a message about how you can support our ministry because we rely on people like you to do just that. And then after these messages, you will hear our action segment where we'll give you additional things you can do to build up a culture of life and to work against the culture of death. Thank you for what you do. Stay with us now. We will be right back.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More awareness campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, my friends, I hope you'll take that appeal to heart. I really need to hear from you as soon as possible so that I can know you're standing with us in this ministry and in this effort to bring the gospel of life to more and more people. Please consider a generous contribution today. Well, I'm going to be speaking now with Janet about my book because we want to introduce you more to the contents of it and how you can use this new educational tool for yourself and those in your reach. Janet, pro-life activists from around the country have found this to be a useful resource. Let's tell people what's in here.
Well, first of all, the title alone, Father, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. You know, too many people who are in this cause to do something, you know, to stop abortion, they talk about that they're fighting it. And your philosophy, and I know our philosophy at Gospel Life, is that we're here to end it, to stop it altogether, 100%.
Well, and as the book explains, either we end it or it ends us.
That's right.
This is not just a war between pro-life and pro-choice. If pro-life doesn't win, nobody wins. There's no victory in death. What the book does then is it examines the dynamics of this battle from various different perspectives, and the chapters are divided according to the different types of people involved in this battle. The activists, the women, the babies, the abortionists, people in the church, people in the government. And then we have a couple of other sections, one called the celebrations and the other one called the arguments.
Well, what I find is that it's a very easy read. Like you just said, Father, it's about 8 chapters. And within each chapter, there's a collection of essays, 500-word essays. And therefore, you know, you can kind of pick it up and down as you will, reading it. So it's not something that you have to go from cover to cover right away. But the other thing that's nice about it is if you have a particular interest, like in the church, well, you can go right back to that section and read those essays first.
Exactly.
Of course, my favorite is the women, of course. And you talk about, of course, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign is an essay about that. But in particular, I'd like to point out the one, Solidarity with Women. And the fact that we're the church and all churches are in solidarity with women, not against them. It's not that we just stand up for the baby, but we're here to help them, love them both.
Well, the pro-life movement is all about solidarity. We are standing with a victim whose very life is taken, and we, at the same time, we are standing with, just as completely, the mother of that child. The real difference between the two sides, as I explain in another essay, is not that we love the baby and they love the woman. The difference is they say you can separate the two and we say you can't. Their destinies are intertwined. You hurt one, you hurt the other. You want to love and protect one, you have to love and help the other.
I'm sure people might be curious, Father, about the section called celebrations.
Yes.
What
mm-hmm.
do celebrations have to do with the pro-life issue?
There are various celebrations, some of them liturgical feast days that the church observes. For example, the Annunciation or the season of Lent, Christmas, and others that are, for example, like the 4th of July or graduation day. What I do is I show the pro-life dimensions of all these celebrations and talk about how we can observe these particular moments in our lives as an opportunity to advance our pro-life commitment. Graduation day, for example, in schools, the children who would have graduated were it not for the fact that they were killed by abortion should be remembered in that graduation ceremony and in that school yearbook.
You know, this book is also a great action item, is to help you write those letters to the editor we're always telling people to do. There's plenty of things in this book they can quote from. And if people order the book from us, I know, Father, you'll take the time, tell us who to engrave the book to. You'll personally autograph the book to that person.
Absolutely. There are good arguments here, ways to answer some of the common slogans of the pro-abortion people, and also a strong affirmation that there are no exceptions to the prohibition on abortion. Every single abortion, no matter what the circumstances might be, is wrong and needs to be unthinkable in our society.
Well, I hope they contact us at Gospel Life and get a copy of this book while we have a limited supply, and make sure that they then use it to do their pro-life work. And it's a great gift, too, for their pastor, I think.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us on Gospel of Life. Tell other people about this program, because if you can bring more people into this audience, you yourself will be helping the pro-life effort to grow. Join us again next time. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website, gospeloflife.com, where we have many different resources for you, for your churches, and for your pro-life organizations. In the meantime, let's pray for one another. God bless you.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life. Because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More awareness campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ, and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.